Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Lohse. And we're having a general conversation in reference to finance, in reference to financial advisors, in reference to what individuals should be looking for in a financial advisor and how they should come up with the questions to find out if that's the best advisor for them. And Otto made a point about, you know, how can you tell if a person is trustworthy, et cetera. And I thought it's almost like dating at the same time too. It really is, because a financial advisor and a doctor and different people become part of your life. We go to a lot of the family parties and stuff like that because we're part of their life. You don't buy a stock and never talk to the person. You know, if you're working for a client and you're doing their financial plan, then you know everything about them. And you know when things are good, you know when things are bad. But I think you have a question, Otto.
Yeah, basically what Peter was saying about, you know, somebody's always giving you a yes about something. One of my favorite lines back in my sales world was, I would say to people, look, if you want me to tell you what you want to hear, I'll say it, but it's not true. You know, I can make it up and I can tell you what you want to hear, but I'd be misleading you because it's not a fact. You know, and I think you actually need that kind of relationship with people.
A little aside from that, Otto, and I'm digressing, is the other day I told Peter, we were talking about you, and how in a management meeting, you know, if there's no solution, you know, people just want to whine. And I said, I don't know who, we were listening to a conversation, I think it was watching TV or something. And I said, Otto says that. If you come forward with a complaint, have some idea of what the solution could be. Don't just come in and complain because you feel like complaining. There has to be the other side of it. And you're basically saying that in this thing too. It's, you know, from a management perspective, you should write a book, Otto.
You want to know something? I actually seriously thought about that. I as I say, I was in sales management all my life, and I took it pretty seriously. I you know, to me it was a profession, and there's some basics that go into it that I believe you have to follow if you want to be any good at it. I saw so many people who were in it that shouldn't have been there. And I'm sure that's true for financial advisor types as well. You know, they don't belong there, but they're there.
They're thieves. They're thieves, some of these people.
Yeah, that's true in anything.
Right.
Who are in certain jobs, how they ever got there, God only knows. They don't belong there. And, you know, I think that's true in sales, and that's what makes salespeople look bad a lot of times, because they're, you know, the old used car sales image is, you know, that's out the window a long time ago. But anyhow, that's a different topic.
No, but it's the truth, though.
I want to circle back to that a second, but question, what business were you in?
I was always in like business to business, started out always in the business systems arena, if you will, started out in manual business forms years ago, business forms before computers were a big deal. You know, you went into a bank lobby, there was a multiple part form for deposits, for withdrawals, for transfers, for, you know, you name it. So everything was a form. Airline tickets, all these things. And I was involved with manual one-write accounting systems, what they called key sort systems, which were information retrieval systems that were used that actually during World War II. Every veteran, every military member, I'm going off the track a little bit, but anyhow, the point is it had to do with accounting and business systems. And I probably called on every kind of corporation you can dream of in my life. And it evolved over time where once, like 1969, we were selling computers that were basically built around a teletype machine, and it used paper tape. And that was like the beginning. And the paper tape, you would have a wall full of paper tape with the customers' names, the product names, and you would take the tape and stick it into the teletype machine, basically, and it would print an invoice. So I was always involved. My last years, I was with Mars Electronics, which was part of the Mars Candy Company, and we manufactured bill acceptors, coin acceptors, and whatnot, which I would sell to companies like NCR for self-checkout terminals, kiosks, ATM usage, slot machines, you know, all these places where you would use bill acceptors. And it was always corporate to corporate, and it was usually technically related, depending on the era. Like, it started out, it would be manual systems, and in 45 years, things changed quite a bit. And I ended up, it was all technical. So anyhow, that's a very short explanation of 45 years worth of stuff.
Well, I have to tell you something. John always speaks very, very highly of you, and but he gives me bits and pieces of what you actually did. So now I got the story, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
And when we get back together all collectively, he's probably going to bring some M&Ms to the studio.
Well, I think we have a very good chemistry. We have a good mix of people. John, you must like school, because I was not a good school guy. I have to admit that, right? You know, you went through a lot of school, and yeah.
I don't know how you
bluffed your way through it.
I did bluff my way through. My wife shakes her head because I don't know how this happened.
We don't have enough time on the show for you to understand what he did.
Oh, God.
I was getting tired just listening to all the schools you went to.
Oh, in today's day and age with technology, he wouldn't be here. He just wouldn't be here. But it's a whole nother story. You know, I want to get back to
actually, I have a question.
Okay.
My question is this. It's like a TV show. From an investment advisor's perspective, how do you keep people's emotions in check at a time like this?
Well, I mean, you know, liquor stores are still open, so that suggestion always helps. It's an essential thing, but the believe it or not, what I find is most useful to keep people's emotions in check is a conversation about what really matters to them in their life, and the fact that whatever investments we have, we started out geared to keep those things in place for them, what matter most. And it's not going to change. And there's no reason to let the markets ever dictate someone's life. If the markets are dictating someone's life, then they're doing the wrong thing with their investments. It's real simple. You don't have to complicate this. If somebody's not sleeping at night, then they weren't in the right position to begin with. However, you know, like John's been preaching about a plan, and that is really paramount and the bedrock of how something like this is supposed to be done. It's supposed to be a long-term plan, but change is okay. You know, just as we rebalance portfolios and make changes within someone's portfolio from one investment to the next, we may be doing that because something became unbalanced, something dropped out of favor, not every mutual fund performs the way they're supposed to. So it's a constant monitoring process. So to answer that question, how do we keep people's emotions in check? It's a lot easier when you put all those things together. It's a reminder of what's important to them. It's the communication on a consistent basis. And also it's monitoring and making changes as necessary in the portfolio as times go by and as the market changes. You know, it's almost like if anyone's a sports fan, it's almost like making an in-game adjustment. You know, basketball, football, those types of games, you know, you go in at halftime, all of a sudden that game plan went out the window. You know, now we're going to have to change. You know, this other team came out with an offense or a defense that we weren't expecting, so we got to go to plan B or C, and that's perfectly okay. But the last thing you want to do is nothing. Just like John always says, doing nothing's a choice, but it's usually a poor choice. So it's perfectly okay to make adjustments along the way while you're in constant communication. I really think that's, it's not just mechanically good for someone's financial well-being, but it's calming as well.
No, the biggest situation, unfortunately, that brings about change is death. Death of one of the partners. And we've come across that many times. Actually, we have one dramatic case where, and this is a very wealthy client, that the husband died, but he was a trader, 100% trading every day. But that was his call. But when he died, the wife and his various children, who all had accounts that were traded every day, had no idea what to do. So we had to sit down with lawyers and accountants and everybody, because she just needed income for the rest of her life. That was rarely do we ever tell anybody that an entire portfolio should be changed with death. Because if it's good enough when your husband was alive, it's good enough now, except maybe a little tweak here and there. This was 100% change, because the stuff that he had was crazy risky, but that's fine. He wanted that, and he played every day. Once that was over, we couldn't take on that risk, and we wouldn't take it on, because we're not going to call up a widow one day and say, guess what? You know, you can't pay the mortgage. So she gave us the amount of money she needed on an annual basis. We sat with the lawyers, we sat with the accountants, and said, this is what we have to do to create this, and we're done. And we sit down with her all the time, but that's not the point. But I'm throwing that one out there because, unfortunately, with the coronavirus going around, there's a lot of death. That doesn't mean the entire portfolio has to be redone just because either the wife or the husband died. It can be looked at, it can be adjusted down the road, but not today, because what's changed in your life? A terrible thing. You lost your spouse, you lost somebody you loved dearly. But if you had, I'm making up a number, a 70-30 asset allocation, does that make a difference? No. You still needed the same amount of money. Maybe down the road you'll do something a little different, but not today. And that's one thing that I have found over the years, and I'm not knocking anybody, but people jump on that. That, you know, death brings on, it's almost a scam. It's not the same category as a scam, like the programs we have on the show about scams. But it's dishonest at the end of the day. That's what I'll call it. I'll call it dishonest. It's not necessary, but it happens all the time. Another thing just going on real quick before we go into a break is there's a broker check that people can go to. So, I mean, if you have a number of violations, if you've done things to people, you can go to a broker check, put the person's name in there, you know, find out what they've done, and you might turn around and say, I'm closing the door on this one. I would never talk to him again. We're going to go in for our second break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.